Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
While listening to a special rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear, especially because today is Monday. You know what I'm getting ready to ask you? Because we had a banging week. Where were you last week? Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm still trying to recover over Friday's episode. I don't know where you were, but if you were anywhere other than It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, you missed a whole lot. Yes, you did. We started off on Monday. It was sizzling from the relationship clinic on Monday, and we just did not recover all week. Yes. I'm not even going to go down the line. All I'm telling you to do is make sure you click on Monday, and then when you finish, you click on Tuesday, and then when you finish, you just click on Wednesday. Then we got to make sure we click on Thursday, and lo and behold, we'll end up at Friday. Yes, you listen, we had our segment on Friday, Boys Will Be Boys, and it was on and popping up in It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. I'll probably get flagged for that. Excuse me. I'll probably get flagged for on and popping because Shantisa told me it's not used anymore. But that's okay. That's my terminology for today. That's what I want to say. Oh, it was sizzling. It was sizzling when we talked about the Boys Will Be Boys. I would love to know how the listeners ended up. But what side of the fence did you end up? We definitely had a split panel, and that has never happened. Boy, I didn't ever think I would see the day that Pastor KL would be silenced. Oh, he was in his own world on Friday. And it was two against two. Yes. But hopefully, at the end of all of that, we came to a righteous resolve. Yes, that's what I want to say. I want to say we came to a righteous resolve because at the end of the day, we have to let the Lord speak. Yes, you know, we can get caught up in a whole lot of these worldly terminologies and these worldly frame of minds and yes, we can really, you know, because remember now, this is what we've grown up in. This is what the world has told us is normal. This is what the world has told us is supposed to be. This is what the world has brainwashed us into believing. Yeah, I don't think a lot of times we realize how ingrained we are to how the world, you know, is moving. And sometimes when we step into the Christian world and we tell Jesus we're giving our life over, we don't realize how much stuff is still kind of left over in this world. And that's not to say, you know, that the men on Friday, you know, were still in the world. I'm just talking in general. You know, it really helped me understand that we've got to be real careful. We've got to be real careful over the stuff we leave behind and the stuff we continue to take with us. It helped me to understand that this world has a larger influence on us than we think. It helps me to understand that each day, and which I already knew, but it just helped to just nail it, that each day it should be a different walk in the Lord. You know, do we examine ourselves and try to figure out what exactly are we still doing? Or is God happy with everything I'm doing? Or, so, you know, that all can be several things. That all can be several things. And that's what really Friday's segment really helped me understand. It helped me understand that we're kind of moving to the beat of a drum that we may not even be realizing that has nothing to do with God. And a lot of times we're responsible for teaching our children things that we didn't realize we had to teach them. You know, the Lord says, come from out the world. You know, we are in this world, but we should not be of this world. And I've had people tell me all the time, that's hard stuff. You know, how are we going to do that? Hold on to Jesus. And as Pastor Charlotte always says, call on the name of Jesus, because I'm going to tell you something. That's the only way we can get this done, is to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And whatever hand we got is one thing, but the one thing we know is that God's hand is unchanging. And once we take a tight grip and we decide not to let go, that he's going to show us a whole lot of stuff. And here's what I want to say before I close down my opening today, because I don't plan on being that long. We got a lot of stuff that I'd like to cover today. But one of the things that I do want to say is just let's be mindful. Be mindful of who we are. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, then be mindful of who we are. Make sure we're not labeling ourselves as a Christian and yet the world is ultimately dictating what we do, how we think, what we hold on to. And make sure that when you do that surrender thing, remember it has to be a daily thing you do, a daily submission to God, a daily surrender to God, so that he can help make you aware of who you are and what you're doing. And unfortunately, what I'm seeing a lot now is we're stuck in ourselves. It's what makes us comfortable. It's what we want to see, what we've been doing, what we have been looking at and like all this time, and we don't want to be moved from that. And I have to caution you, you don't want that. That's not what you want. That's not what God wants for us. So we got to make sure that when we get up every day and we say that prayer, that we truly, I have so many people say, I submit and surrender. And then when new stuff, they're approached with new stuff, they just have so much resistance to it. You can't surrender to God and then when the resistance, when the issues come, you resist. The two just don't go together. That means that I let God show me what's right and what's wrong, and I'm willing to make that change. That's what surrender means. Giving my life over to the Lord. Let me decrease so that God can increase. Okay? So, that's what we learned from last week. Boys will be boys. Woo! Brought up a lot of stuff. And that one I kind of got, like I said, from what we went through during the week. And it was a continuation. That's why I said I'm not even going to bother to go down the line of what happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Before that, Friday, boys will be boys. But know that all of that stuff culminated to that thought of doing that segment. And it really, really brought out a lot of stuff. Again, I say listen to what's in between. A whole lot of stuff that was said, but there was a whole lot of stuff that was in between. So, I hope you had a good weekend, and I hope you are prepared for us. Yes, I hope you are prepared for the Due Time crew this week. And I don't just mean the Due Time crew. I mean everybody who's God is going to send to minister to you this week. We got some good stuff. As long as you are listening, it's always good because you can draw something from it each and every day. So, I always like to give this number nice and early just in case your internet gets a little wacky. The number is 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. If you want to text, you can do that. We've made arrangements for that too. 347-285-7777. Again, the number is 347-285-7777. All right, so make sure you get on the line and you text a friend, call a friend, let them know what's going on, let them know it's due time, it's happening, let them know that it goes down over here. Yes, it goes down over here on his due time with Pastor Steph. And you don't want to miss it. Listen, missing just 1 minute can really, really make you miss a lot, okay? So, again, if you tell your people that it's due time with Pastor Steph is jumping, then they're going to want to jump on board. And that's what we need. And by the grace of God, our numbers tipped last week in high numbers. We even had good numbers over the weekend. So God is good. He's doing his thing. Now it's time for us to make sure we do our thing, okay? So let me give you this number again, 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. If you want to text, you can do that too, 347-285-7777. You're on with this Due Time with Pastor Steph, and today is Shaking the Monday Morning Blues. Ain't nowhere in the world you're going to get up today and not have that blues shaking off. Not over here with his Due Time with Pastor Steph. Make sure you keep it locked. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Oxides Barbeau, the city's doctor. You're hearing about COVID-19 every day and why it's important to stay home as much as possible to protect yourself and others from its spread. But if you're not feeling well, I want you to get the care you need. If you have a fever, cough, or a sore throat, you may have COVID-19. If your symptoms are not very severe, stay home, take your temperature at least once a day, and watch for signs of getting worse. If you have chest pain or trouble breathing, call 911 or go to an emergency room right away. Please, don't wait. The city provides medical care regardless of immigration status or ability to pay. If you need help finding a doctor, call 311.
Good morning to you. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes, I don't know how your weekend has been, you know, what happened and how exciting or boring or what was it? But regardless of what it was, we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. I thank you so much for joining me. As I like to always tell you, I could not do it without you. There's no way in the world I could actually do this without you. You know, if I had to talk to myself, that wouldn't be so much fun. But knowing that you're out there in the Blog Talk world or the Apple world or whatever world you're in, listening to us, it always makes me feel good. And I thank you so much for joining us today. So we are ending the month of August, and things have shifted for us in the world as we now are voting. I hope you're on that voters list. We're voting via ballot mail. Yeah, this is a new thing for us. This is something new for us, and we have to really get prepared. You know, it's different. Before, we just waited for Election Day, and we marched up into the voter's box, and we just cast our ballot. And this way, you know, this time, we have to shift it a little bit. So it is my duty to help remind you of some of the stuff that has to go on. So, of course, because we're based out of New York, I'm going to talk about the rules for voting in our state. Well, you got to plan your vote. That's how they're captioning it, so that's how I'm going to caption it. Plan your vote. Well, the deadline for New York, we have 39 days left to register online. The deadline is Friday, October 9th. And there are 64 days left until Election Day, which is Tuesday, November 3rd. Okay? The deadlines for everybody to vote online, by mail, in person, anyway, online, by mail, or in person, you can register. The last day to register is October 9th. For us here in New York. Now remember, I'm talking about in New York. I will get to other states, okay? But again, we're based out of New York, so I got to address New York first. The question is, can I register to vote and cast my ballot on the same day? The answer is no, you cannot. You are going to have to register by October 9th and then vote on November 3rd, okay? Can I vote without a photo ID in New York? Yes, you can vote without a photo ID. Can I vote by mail without an excuse? Yes, you can vote by mail if COVID-19 is your excuse. When is the deadline to request a mail-in ballot? Let's get that question again. When is the deadline to request a mail-in ballot? Tuesday, October 27th by mail. And Monday, November 2nd, in person. That's only the day before. So they're giving you a lot of leeway. We vote on the 3rd, but you can actually request in person the day before, okay? When do I need to mail my ballot by? Listen to this. Please, this is important, people. When do I need to mail my ballot by? If it's postmarked by Tuesday, November 3rd, it must be received by Tuesday, November 10th. If not postmarked, must be received by Wednesday, November 4th. Now, again, this is we got to pay attention because the voting day is November 3rd. But we've got these dates that are passed. So remember, they still are pulling in ballots later. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't know what is going to happen this week. We don't have a clue. We don't have a real clue over what's going to happen this week, if they're going to flip something at the last minute. So make sure you get your stuff together. Can I drop off my ballot in person? The answer is yes. New Yorkers, we can drop our ballot off in person. Can I vote without a notary or a witness? Yes, you can vote without a notary or a witness. Can I use COVID-19 as an excuse? It's coming up again. Yes, you can use COVID-19 as an excuse. After I vote by mail, can I track my ballot? Nope. 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 Okay. Can I vote in person before election day? Yes, you can vote by early absentee and early in-person voting. Okay, they're letting you vote earlier if you'd like to. When is the first day I can vote early in person? You can vote as early as October 24th. Okay? October 24th. When is the last day I can vote early in person? That deadline is Sunday, November 1st. Okay? So there's a lot of questions that are being asked, and we got to make sure we take care of this voting thing. We cannot mess around and slip voting. Please, the same way we rallied up everybody, you know, when Obama was, you know, we were trying to get him into office, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to do the same thing. I looked at a thread yesterday. I just happened to stumble across it. And somebody was promoting Trump, and they had all this beautiful stuff written out as to what Trump has done. And, you know, the numbers haven't been this good. And, you know, he's not for killing babies, and oh my goodness, they just went on and on and on. And I'm like, seriously? There are people out here who really believe this man needs to just stay in there. Now, I'm not here to sway you one way or the other. I'm just giving you what I feel, what I'm thinking, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. But to give you what I'm thinking, you know, you have to make the decision as to what's important to you. But regardless of which way you go, we have to vote. You cannot not cast a ballot and then later on complain about it. That just makes no sense. You want to be able to say that you participated in who should be sitting in that seat. And everybody, like I said, you know, these people had some glaring, and the battle was on. They had some glaring stuff of what Trump has done and who he is. And you got the other side, you know, with they stand for this and they stand for that. And it's been this and it's been that. And I was like, ooh, my head is spinning. You have to make sure that it's important to you, especially us as African-American people. Keep in mind, you know, this is technically a luxury for us to even be able to vote. Yes, no matter how you feel about that, you know, this is still a battle underground, you know. They really don't want you to know how much of a battle this is, but you need to make sure that you make your opinion count. And I'd rather see someone win that I didn't want to, knowing that I did my part, than to sit around later and complain about what's ultimately happened and who's sitting in the seat, and I had nothing to say. So that was our New York information, and we do have a couple of minutes. So I will give Alabama. We have a heavy listenership in Alabama. Our Pastor Kale comes from and hails from New York, but he's in Alabama now. been in Alabama for a minute, so people are listening. So when is the deadline to register to vote in Alabama? Well, you got 49 days left to register online. The deadline is Monday, October 19th. There are 64 days left until the election day of Tuesday, November 3rd. And here's why I say I got to read this information, because it's different here in Alabama. The deadline for all ways to register in Alabama is October 19th. Can I register to vote and cast my ballot on the same day? No. Can I vote without a photo ID? No. So in New York, I gave yes, because those are our rules, but in Alabama, it's no. We have, can I vote by mail without an excuse? Yes, you can vote by mail if COVID-19 is your excuse. When is the deadline to request a mail-in ballot? Thursday, October 29th is your deadline. When do I need to mail my ballot by? You got to make sure it's postmarked by Monday, November 2nd. It needs to be received no later than noon on November 3rd, Tuesday. Can I drop off my ballot in person? Yes, you can. Can I vote without a notary or witness? No, you cannot. Can I use COVID-19 as an excuse? Yes. After I vote by mail, can I track my ballot? Yes. So in Alabama, you can track your ballot. In New York, you cannot. Can I vote in person before Election Day? Yes. But only early absentee voting is allowed. When is the first day I can vote early in person? Wednesday, September 9th. When is the last day I can vote early in person? It's Thursday, October 29th. So there's your information for Alabama and your voting ability, okay? So remember, make sure we do what we need to do and we keep the ballots going. We cannot sleep on this. It matters. It matters every year, but this is a presidential vote. We got to make sure we're doing what we need to do. Make sure your voice is heard, okay? Especially you younger people. You know, you tend to believe that you don't have to vote. It doesn't matter. You know, a lot of people say, well, it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. Every vote counts. It matters, okay? We matter. There are a lot of us. So we got to make sure we do what we need to do to make sure we get who we want to get up in there. Again, if you have no vote, you don't cast a vote, there is no way you can make sure, or at least try to make sure, your candidate wins, okay? So we're getting ready to move out of our news into our segment of the morning, our first segment of the morning. And I want to make sure I give you this number, 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. You can text if you'd like, 347-285-7777. Again, the number is 347-285-7777. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph, and we're shaking the Monday morning blues. We got a nice topic we've got coming up, and we've got some nice young people that we'll be speaking to. So make sure you keep it locked. We'll be right back. Good morning to you. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and I want to welcome you to the show. If this is your first time, we give you a brand new welcome. If this is your 100th time, we welcome you back, and we thank you so much for hanging out with us in the morning, Monday through Friday. We're happy to have you with us. We could not do this without you. So thank you so much for joining us. Well, we've got some topic for you this morning. You know, we took a little survey last week, and we were asking people, you know, what do you want to hear? What would you like to see us do? What topics do you want to talk about? Who do you want to hear from? And there's been some plans on the table from the inception of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph from back in March and May, and or March, April, and May, I should say. And just it has not come together. We've made attempts to do these things, and it just has not come together. But as I always like to say, in due time, in God's timing, everything gets done. So, you know, we had a cancellation of our couple, so we did not get the couple's relationship, the relationship clinic going on today. But God always has a ram in the bush, right? So I thought about a topic that I had written down last week, and Shantice and I got together and we rounded up some young people, and I so appreciate them for joining us this morning. So let's say good morning to Layton Williams. Good morning, Layton.
Good morning, Pastor Seth.
How are you?
I'm doing swell this morning.
Good, very good. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And let's say good morning to Ms. Jada West. Good morning, Jada.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And let's say good morning to Mr. Vernon Griffin. Good morning, Vernon.
Good morning. Good morning. Blessings to everybody. Hope everyone has a great, great ride today.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're happy to have you all with us this morning. You know, a lot of people don't want to get up at 7 in the morning and talk to Pastor Steph. So I thank you so much for just taking your time and giving us some opportunity to hear from you. So we're talking this morning about why people ignore the red flags in the relationship. Why do people ignore the red flags in the relationship? So I want to just start off by asking each of you to give me two red flags that you've experienced but you've ignored. Layton, we'll start with you.
I have ignored the anger in relationships. The quick to anger, and the non-responsive.
Okay. Anger and the lack of response, unresponsiveness. What about you, Jada? What have you experienced as the red flags, but you've ignored?
That's a good question. I think one of them was definitely it's like an unwillingness to really commit to anything. I guess showed up in different areas, but especially as it pertains to like a relationship. And I definitely ignored those.
Okay.
And then I would say that another one is just not really seeing ambition or a drive to really do more. Just kind of being complacent. Those are two that are big for me that I've noticed and I've ignored them.
Okay, okay. And Vernon, what were the two red flags that you ignored?
Well, for me, Pastor Steph, I think I've ignored a lot of, in some instances, some verbal abuse, which is, you know, was terrible. And I've also ignored kind of someone who wanted me to kind of really change who I was. You know, some compromises is okay, but, you know, they wanted me to kind of become a different person. So I've ignored those red flags.
Okay. You brought up some interesting ones, I'll say that, because my mind goes into some other areas. And as young people, I'm paying attention to what you're flagging now as red flags then. Leighton, you had red flags that you ignored. Why did you ignore those things?
I believe because I was around it a lot between adults. I grew up faster than what I should as a child. So I would notice things as a child, and I thought it was normal as, you know, being unresponsive, not communicating, think it was normal. And when I express certain things as a child, I would get shunned for it or get knocked for it. So accepting that was kind of like the norm for me. So bringing that into a relationship, it was almost like normality continuing. Accepting it, you know, each and every time.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Jada, why do you think you ignored that unwillingness to, you know, commit and the other stuff that you saw? What made you just kind of push it to the side?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is that I felt like I could change people. I thought that, like, going in, I felt like I had enough for the both of us. So that was, like, my thing going in and thinking and feeling like I was the changing agent in their life. And then when it came down to it, I really had problems with my confidence. And so I was willing to settle for things that I knew weren't settling for less than what I deserved. And so that was also a big factor in why I was willing to ignore them.
Okay. And Vernon, what about you? What made you push this stuff to the side? You saw it, but you pushed it to the side. Why?
Right, Pastor Steph. Well, you know, I think for me, I think I didn't trust myself enough. And what I mean by that is I might have felt like I might have been, okay, this is happening. Maybe I'm overreacting to it, and maybe I'm just focusing on the negatives. So, you know, maybe I just need to give it some time. I also kind of, you know, might have been stuck in a, you know, wishful thinking. Other times, you know, we as people, you know, we become, you know, infatuated with the person. It might not even be love. And then once, you know, all the red flags show up, we feel that, oh, it's not so bad. And, you know, I think the relationship, you know, we live in a fantasy of what it could be, but it really prevents you from seeing things as they really are. And I just also want to say another reason is people really move on sometimes too quickly. So instead of taking time to date and, you know, finding out about that person, a lot of people jump into relationships so fast that they don't have time to spot those red flags.
We getting somewhere, Vernon. We getting somewhere. It's one of the things that we talk about a lot here on is moving too fast. So you're right. It definitely does kind of make you overlook or help you to overlook some stuff. Jada, I want to ask you, when you finally spotted the red flags and you were like, okay, no, this stuff has to be addressed, what happened? How was it received from the opposite end?
That's actually a good question. I didn't make it a practice to discuss those things with that person. I was very much in the mindset of I'm just going to go ahead and drop it and leave it where it is. I didn't have a very good habit of communicating with people and letting them know what I was noticing about them. But the time where I finally did, it was very uncomfortable. I felt like it was a very difficult conversation to have. And it definitely took time for that person to see where I was coming from with it. And we had to end that relationship just because we were kind of like at a place where neither one of us could really move past what was said. So it was definitely a learning experience in that aspect. But beforehand, I would just kind of like pick up and go, and it wouldn't really be a good explanation for why I left.
Okay. Leighton, what happened to you, or what happened with that relationship, or how did that person respond when you decided to finally speak up about those red flags that you had spotted, and it wasn't going to work anymore?
It was taken as a negative instead of as a positive result on building or moving forward or to correct what we got going on between us. When I did speak up, it was more like I was being too abrasive. I don't know what I was talking about. I'm delusional. I'm going crazy. It's me, not you. Type of situation where they're trying to flip the situation where I look like I was the one that needed the help, or I was the one that was doing or being that wrong in the relationship. So it was being taken as out of context in most times, or I was being the crazy one, not knowing what I was talking about. That I'm trying to tell them that I'm this that they're this type of person when they're not.
Okay. Wow. What about you, Vernon? How was it received? How did she behave? How did she respond?
Well, she received it. I've gotten kind of two different responses at times. She received it, you know, okay, well, I don't think this is a big deal, you know, or, you know, I think you're kind of blowing things out of proportion. And then as time went on, she kind of switched to more of a pacifying, like, okay, you know what, it's going to be all right, don't worry about it, you know, things are going to be okay. As I was seeing the same things constantly, happen, I realized that she really didn't really listen to me. She heard me, but she didn't, you know, listen and understand and, you know, kind of, you know, give me real feedback of, you know, how I was feeling. So that's when I realized that it's on me to make a decision of what I feel like I'm worth. And if you feel that you're a high value individual, you have to do what's in your best interest.
I'm liking this stuff. When we're looking at these green lights, and I want to go back to what you all said about how it was received when you finally, you know, when you finally stood up for yourself, how was it received? And think about if red flags are different for females than they are for males. So you answered very interestingly where you said, you know what, this is, you know, it just made me, I was the one going crazy. Do you think it's because of the difference in gender, or do you think it was just that person? So I'm kind of asking you like a loaded question here. I took it from one to the other because as I'm talking, I'm thinking as well. But I want to come back to you, Leighton. You know, do you think it was a female-male issue, or do you just think it was just a person thing? Do you think it differs when you're dealing with men and women?
I really don't think there's so much. I believe there's a thin line between that, between the gender mix, because it's how we perceived it and what experience we have gone through with different relationships, how someone can react to how you're maybe coming off. But I feel like there's really no difference between a male and a female. It's just how they perceive you and what they experience that they've been through in different relationships.
Okay, okay, okay. Well, what about you, Jada? Do you think that it's a male-female thing, or is it, it is what it is?
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with Leighton. I do believe that it kind of goes back to the individual's experiences and just with how they've handled maybe criticism in the past or if it, you know, how they respond to it. I don't know if it's necessarily a gender thing. I thought that it was until I had experiences where, like, when it was reciprocated or where, like, maybe I took it offensively one time, but then, like, when I presented, you know, opportunities to that person, they also took it that way. So I've seen on both sides where the response has been pretty similar. I've seen it different for men in, like, maybe, like, friendships where their guy friends can be more blunt with them. But then when it's coming from a woman, I feel like it hits them differently. So I've seen that. But in a romantic sense, I haven't seen a difference in gender.
Okay, okay, okay. For you, Vernon, what's your understanding? How are you perceiving it? This is a male and a female. There's difference in the red flag. She doesn't see it or he sees it, or is it just it is what it is?
I agree with the other panelists. As there are times when, in a general sense, you know, it kind of, you know, might be, you know, the same for both men and women. I have also, though, seen slight differences between the genders as far as, you know, the, you know, certain flags. Like, for example, you know, a man that might belittle women might be a red flag, you know, some misogyny, you know, or never crediting, you know, a woman's accomplishment, excuse me, might be considered, you know, different types of red flags for specifically women because, you know, some people, for whatever reason or another, can't seem to, you know, allow themselves to, you know, acknowledge, you know, the equal level playing field of men and women. Or it could be something for, you know, simple as a man. You know, some men, you know, if you do one of those people that believe in gender roles, you know, some men, you know, get, you know, maybe a plate or a home-cooked meal or, you know, just that nurturing quality from a woman. Not saying that is a woman's responsibility, but if you get some kind of feedback that is just, you know, negative, like I don't, or I'm not taking care of you or I don't want to be there for you, that might be a red flag as far as a man's perspective because most general relationships need that nurturing from a woman in that aspect sometimes, in my opinion.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay, because there's some thought that the overall thought from our quote-unquote experts say that there's a difference between the red flags, men and women, just like you brought out, Vernon. Sometimes, you know, based on, again, we are coming from also a conversation of boys will be boys and how you're raised and what you are taught as girls to maybe ignore from the male gender. And now this is now taking part in a relationship. So that kind of stuff shifts. So it's the way you've experienced it. And sometimes it shows up where, okay, it's just like what men do. That's what you say. And other times it's like you said, it's just, it is what it is. Now you've had very early, and this is why it was so interesting to me to have young people speak on this topic, because this shows how early this stuff gets started, very early. And we're going to go back to ignoring. You've ignored these red flags. And how do you think it's failed you? How has it failed you ignoring it? Leighton, what has it done to you being that you've just gone past this stuff? I've ignored it. Has it had any lasting effect?
It affected me in a way where communication and unresponsiveness, I took that over into another relationship, as in me not expressing myself and what my needs were in a relationship, or how I'm feeling, or if I feel overwhelmed, where I just, you know, I felt like I was being attacked, then I would shut down or just not say anything. And a lot of the times that I've noticed that, and I try to correct it, but being it happened so much and happened previous before I had entered any relationships, it took that toll. It lasts long to what a point where after a relationship I was done with, I took the time for myself to heal and figure out what I wanted, what I needed for myself, and what I needed to work on. And once I did that, you know, everything became a lot clearer for me and what I needed out of a relationship and what I looked for in a relationship with that partner.
Okay. Jada, how has it affected you? You know, how has it failed, this failed relationship, and you ignoring these things that were there, that were blatantly there? How has it affected you?
Mm-hmm. I can definitely agree with Layton on the carrying the experiences over into other relationships and believing that it was like normal and not understanding why it was unproductive or toxic or however you choose to label it. But another important thing that I saw as an effect is that I was really discouraged by the idea of dating or even marriage. I really got to a place where I just didn't believe that I would ever, that it was ever for me. And even though it was a desire, I wasn't willing to admit that it was a desire because I was just so discouraged by the idea of it. Like, I just didn't feel like it could ever happen because I just didn't have experiences where it showed me that it was possible for me.
Okay. Vernon, the ignoring this, how has it had a lasting effect on you, ignoring those red flags?
Well, Pastor Steph, ignoring a lot of things, these red flags, really has kind of made me look in a very pessimistic view in a lot of relationships, like some of the panelists were saying, you know, whether it be, you know, me not wanting to, you know, date at all, or me just kind of, you know, kind of closing off and kind of putting a wall up. And I like to say that, you know, if you ignore the red flag in the relationship, you're going to wave the white flag because, you know, a lot of people just give up. And you're going to, you know, set yourself up for a lot of heartache and pain, especially once you've, you know, as we as, you know, human beings, we develop that, you know, attachment to people. And it's harder the deeper and deeper we go down the relationship by ignoring those red flags. So then when we really had enough to call it quits. So it's best to just try to see the red flag, try to deal with them right then and there. And if you don't get any good feedback or, you know, some compromise, just move on initially. But for me, yeah, it's been definitely an eye-opening experience trying to get into new relationships without that old baggage.
Okay. I want to go back a little bit. I want to go back to the different areas and those red flags that you brought up. And it may not have been yours, and I'm going to try my best to remember which one you flagged and talk about another one. but Jada, a lack of communication as a red flag. What's something that you need to really pay attention to? Why do you need to pay attention to that red flag?
Well, that's honestly, there isn't really a way for the relationship to be successful if you're not talking about things. And that's something that I've actually received feedback on as a partner, that if I can work on my communication, it would just make me very closed off, and it would restrict the ability to connect with that person. Like a lot of that even like just like developing intimacy comes from being able to be vulnerable and open and being willing to work through difficult issues. Just because if you don't address them, then it leaves you open to bitterness and resentment or even further down the line, like infidelity, or just feeling like you're not really connected with that person. And you try to find that connection in other things. So I haven't seen it get to that point, but I just know that is I've definitely seen it restrict my ability to connect with people.
Okay. Layton, I'm looking at some signs of some red flags that are typically ignored. And trying to stay away from the two that you mentioned, I want to ask you about the controlling behavior. That controlling behavior. Why is that a red flag, and what do you need to do about it when you see it?
Why is that a red flag? Because then in a relationship, a person can't be themselves. As in expressing themselves, talking, being loved, enjoying what they enjoy about themselves, and then bringing that to the other person. It being a red flag that the way it is, and how where that comes from, or you can see before it comes, is just little cues of like how the person talks, the way they handle you or your emotions, if they just put it aside or they just worried about me, or you can't do this or you can't do that, you can't go there. It's a broad aspect for a controlling that part, I believe, where it can affect a person stability of their mind of, I have to walk around eggshells around this person, they're gonna get upset how I do certain things if I don't do it their way. Then that could even lead into where, it becomes more abusive, it becomes violent. And if you stay too long, you might even lead to death. So cautions are there. It's how you treat yourself at the end of the day, or want to be treated, and what you accept can no longer, it will no longer be red flags for you. You can just walk away from that.
Okay. Vernon, a dark or secretive past, the experts say, should be a red flag. What say you? Why should that be a red flag, or why shouldn't it be?
I would agree with that. If you cannot feel comfortable with your partner, that they will be able to express themselves or be completely honest, because when you think about it, we're all dating to, find our partner, to find our companion. And if your companion can't be open and honest with you about everything, then that might lead into an area where you feel like a person could feel like, you know, that they're, you know, so secretive or hiding something, or they aren't who they really are. So in my personal opinion, I would love for, you know, my partner to be able to feel comfortable to tell me anything, anything that's going on, because that would keep the line of communication open, and it would be better for the relationship in the long run.
Okay, okay. I really enjoyed my conversation with you all. And you're young. You're young and you've experienced these things very young in life. So I want to give you an opportunity to talk to the listeners, whether you're young or old, and give them a word of advice, you know, from what you've experienced. You know, I'm going to handle these red flags differently going forward, and my advice to you is, let's start with you, Layton.
Okay, my advice is to make sure you love yourself first. That's key. That's number one key. I truly believe in. Give yourself time to heal before you move on. What I mean by time to heal is, like, heal yourself emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. Let yourself be grounded where you cannot be moved or wavered from what you want, what you need, out of a relationship, out of life. And for any red flags or any situations where you feel uncomfortable or your intuition kicks in, you should just run from it. Like, you know, tell them, you know, this is not for you. This is not, you know, this is not where I stand. And if you can't get on my level of way I needed to be treated, then they cannot accept that, you just walk. Just walk. There's nothing wrong where they, you know, or you know, it don't have to be a relationship. It could just be a friendship now. And even sometimes friendships are chaotic too. They can be abusive. You know, a lot of the times we can't do it ourselves, so we prey on our situations to, like, remove anything that we, that is harmful to us, to where we're going, to where we want to be in life or in a relationship.
Okay. Some good advice, Layton. You learned a lot. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that advice. Jada, you know, how I'm going to handle this red flag or these red flag things going forward, I'm going to handle them this way, and my advice to you would be?
Okay. So I definitely will handle the red flags differently going forward in my future relationships. And my advice would be to be okay with having the difficult decisions, the difficult conversations, because they can really give you an opportunity to connect with people in an interesting way. And, you know, don't be afraid to express what you desire or what you need out of the relationship, because ultimately, if it doesn't work out, it's just a learning experience, and it doesn't define who you are or your ability to move into another relationship successfully, especially if you learned what went wrong or what could improve and from the past experiences. And then just to remain open and, you know, have your red flags, but also be willing to, when you express how you feel or when you express the concerns you may have in a relationship, you also give that person an opportunity to grow. And it might be their first time hearing that about themselves or learning that about themselves, and you may be instrumental in them becoming an even better person, which, you know, in our relationships, it's not our goal to change people, but we can have an impact on people's lives. So, you know, just don't be afraid to speak up.
Okay. Okay, okay. Vernon, you know, going forward, I'm going to handle the red flags X, Y, and Z way, and my advice to you would be?
Well, my advice to you would be to know your limits and to make sure you stick to them. A lot of times, you know, people, everyone's red flags, you know, and what they'll tolerate may be different. Obviously, we don't want anyone with any kind of abuse or, you know, violence, things like that. But everyone has certain things that are deal breakers and things that they might be able to compromise on. For a person that's dealing with these issues, I think you need to know your limits and stick to them. Make sure that, you know, you see the value in yourself, and if it's something happening that you can't really get over, or if it's something that is affecting you too much, like the other panelists said, you know, walk away. And a part of that is trusting your gut. If you feel that, you know, things aren't going down the right path or it's not moving forward in a positive way, trust your gut and just, you know, leave. And I would also say, finally, be what you look for. A lot of people, they, you know, choose to, you know, they want certain things from people, but you also have to kind of lead by example. So not only do you have to, you know, want, you know, positivity and, you know, a good relationship structure, but you also got to reciprocate that. So that way you're in a healthy position to demand that from your partner.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. This is coming from the young folk. Yesterday I called Leighton a millennial, and he was like, I'm not a millennial. And I was like, listen, yes, you are. You're right up in there. But they have really done a fantastic job this morning with helping us understand these red flags and how it starts or where it comes from or when you're in it, all the way up to even at this age, I've got advice for you. Thank you so much, Leighton. Thank you so much, Jada and Vernon. We so appreciate you just helping us out with this red flag thing. You have taught many a lot. Trust me when I tell you, I have much older people that have not figured this thing out yet. So I thank you so much for joining us this morning, getting up early to talk to Pastor Steph and the listeners. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Blessings.
Oh, thank you. My goodness, I was finally able to nail down some good people. People who are willing to get up in the morning. You know, we've been after this for quite some time, and the biggest challenge was always, oh, I don't want to get up in the morning. But not only did they get up in the morning, they were open, honest, and really had some good stuff for us to take heed to. And I give God thanks for their life, and I'm trusting that they will continue to be blessed and successful. So I hope you've told a friend, because, see, this is what they would have missed. If you didn't tell somebody early to get on with this due time with Pastor Steph, they would not have gotten a chance to hear it. We don't want people to hear it later. We want people to hear it right when it happens. But there's always the later effect. We're on demand. So if somebody missed it, they can always go back and click that link and get that wonderful, wonderful advice and tune into that conversation that we had. So, we are in our Shaking the Monday Morning Blues. And if that wasn't something to help you shake the Monday Morning Blues, I don't know what to tell you. Make sure you give us a call, 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. I see they're hanging on, so I'm hoping they hold on for the rest of the show because maybe you have a question for them. Now, that would be nice. That would be nice. If you had a question for them, I'm encouraging you to talk to our young people. Maybe even ask them a question about something that they didn't even mention. But if they've taken the time, I'm sure, you know, you may be out of that age range. And maybe you're looking back and you're seeing something that you didn't notice as early as they noticed. Because it sounds to me like they've matured
I got to tell you, there's some maturing that went on, because they would not have been able to say what they said if they had not kind of turned this thing around to let it be a life's lesson learned. And a lot of us grown people, we need to take that lead from them. You're on with Due Time with Pastor Steph. Again, I want to say thank you for tuning in and listening to us. Make sure you keep it locked. We'll be right back.
You are listening to a special rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph.
What's a morning without some dew? Spend yours with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning to you. You're on with This Due Time with Pastor Steph, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Well, we just got finished hearing from Leighton Williams, Jada West, and Vernon Griffin, and they definitely helped us get through this red flag issue. The question was, why do we ignore the red flags? They're red flags for a reason. Well, listen, to be honest, it's not just red flags. There's sirens and alarms and lights and all kinds of stuff going on, and we just don't pay attention. Kids get involved, and the marriages are already taking, you know, place, and then we decide to pay attention. Well, listen, I purposely went to our younger generation. I purposely went and we dug last night feverishly to get three young people who were willing to come on and talk about this issue, because, you know, it needs to happen early. This awareness really needs to take place early in life. We cannot wait till we get 99 to start learning some lessons. It just would not make sense. It just does not, and it doesn't make sense. You know, we just continue to keep the cycle going on and on and on and on, and if we were to just take heed. You know, God allows us to go through things. He says you ought to rejoice during trials and tribulations because it builds endurance. It really helps to make you who you are. Now, it does not mean that you have to go through some things, because if somebody's telling you that there's a hole over there, you do not need to step in that hole to figure out that you shouldn't have been there. You do not have to go that route. But the best thing is, as one of our panelists said, take the lesson. Take the lesson and learn. They all said pretty much, take the lesson and learn from them. And really, we got some strong points in the end of the day. And again, like I said, I'm impressed. I'm impressed because I'm hearing some stuff that in when you pastor, you don't hear this from like 60-year-old people. They're still doing the same things over and over and over again, and they're looking to have different results. And the interesting part is they say it's an oxymoron who continues to do the same thing but looks for and expects different results. So we want to take a lesson today from our young people, and, you know, you can probably guess their ages, but they're younger than a lot of us who do listen here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And I give God thanks that they've learned early enough that now they can make a difference in not only their life, but like Jada said, you know, make a difference in someone else's life. Let somebody else learn from you. You know, you can, that, I think Leighton said it also, they can learn from you. Your children, if, you know, if you've got some children involved, they need to learn, set that example early. Set, you know, let them know early what they're going to tolerate and what they're not going to tolerate and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable behavior. You know, unfortunately, we're not doing enough of that, okay? So, again, if you missed any part of that segment, why do we ignore the red flags in a relationship? Right after we hang up from here, in about 5 minutes, the broadcast is ready. You can click on that link, and you can go back, and you can listen to the segment all over again, okay? So, of course, you know, I listen, and again, because we have so many things that we do here, we want to make you happy. So today we're going to do a little bit of the relationship rumors. Yes, we don't have the couple. We don't do today relationship clinic because we don't have the couple. But we can definitely stick to the relationship thing. And relationship rumors is next. And let me say good morning to my Due Time crew, minus one. This morning, let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene Big. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well. I'm well. I'm well. Thank you very much. Let me say good morning to our brother Al Bynum. Good morning, brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. Good morning.
All righty. And last but not least, let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I'm okay. Thank you. I'm okay. I want to, you know, we're minus Minister AJ today. He has a toothache. Oh, can you imagine Minister AJ with a toothache? Whoa. Finally, something that silenced him. So we pray that his tooth is better, because I don't know about any of you, but a toothache will make you want to jump off the bridge. Oh, my goodness. That is a game changer. So we pray that he is feeling better. Don't talk about him, because I think he's on. Hold on. Yeah, he's on, so we can't talk about him. We can't talk about him today. But he's definitely listening. So he's at least, you know, well enough to listen, and we give God thanks that he's, you know, not really laid up somewhere. But again, we're going to be missing him from the Due Time crew today. But let's get some, before we get started with the relationship room, we got a couple of minutes. What say you about what our young people were talking about those red flags? Talk about something they talked about. You know, let them know that they're on the right track. They're on the right track. Pastor Charlene, let us know what's going on. What they said. What did they say that you would want to put your stamp on?
I would say to them that a lot of times, and like you said earlier, Pastor Steph, that it doesn't matter what age it is. A lot of times when we're searching and looking for love and we ignore things sometimes that's in front of us, and sometimes we always say, like the young lady stated, that we always look in there. We think we can change the person. You know, and just because they did it to somebody else or they were experienced from another relationship doesn't mean that they will be with us and do the same thing. So a lot of times the red flag we choose not to see. And later on down the line, we think that not only is going to change, but they wouldn't do it to me. You know, because sometimes we think, and this is on both ends, man and woman, that that it wouldn't happen to me, you know, that they would change for me because they love me or because they really in like, as they say now, with each other. So that was one of the things that stuck out. A lot of the red flags that were stated, I know that I experienced it in my own life, that I chose not to see, which was there. But as time went on and it was over is when I really saw what I did. That wasn't right. I should have left a long time ago.
All right.
But that just stuck out to me.
Wow. All right. Thank you. Brother Al, you know, you were listening in on the young people, and, you know, they brought out some really, really, really good points. And, you know, put a stamp on something as an older person and help people their age understand. You're on the right track. You know, pay attention. You're doing the right thing. Learn.
Okay. Yes, a couple of things first. Number one, I wanted to say I'm proud of the younger generation listening and calling in and you know, and speaking their part and what they've been through. Second, I want to say I hope Minister AJ feel better. Get better, my brother. We need you up here. And, you know, just listening to them, they you know, they said a lot of intelligent things, a lot of things. What stuck out to me the most, because I've been through that a lot, was when the young lady said about someone trying to change you. You know, it's like they met you this way, and that's what drew them to you. Now, when you're out there being you, they want to try to change you. And a lot of women make that mistake of saying, okay, well, you know, he do that. It's okay. We're going to work on that. I'm going to change him. You know, like me, I love to have fun. Anybody and everybody who know me, I will have you laughing all day. I love to have fun. You know, me and my girlfriend, we may go to the store, and we're just pushing the shopping cart. Some music, you know, the little music they play over the loudspeaker, that might come on, and I'll break out and do a dance, and she'll look at me like, oh, man, you crazy. You know, just that's just me just enjoying life and loving to have fun. And I've had women that I dated that was like, well, you know, that's not appropriate. Oh, don't do that. And I'm like, oh, okay, you trying to change my whole personal. I'm not hurting anybody. So that stuck out the most to me. And the great thing about the young people that was on was that they said the key word. I learned from it. You know, this is why we go through these things. We go through these things so that we can learn from it and become better people, become stronger people. And if these life lessons wouldn't happen, we wouldn't be able to move forward and be strong. So I applaud them, but that's what stood out to me the most.
Okay, okay. Thank you, Brother Al. Pastor KL, you heard the young people talking, and they were rather impressive, at least to me. What, you know, what stuck out with you, and what are you happy that you heard?
Well, I'll say this. First, I'll say, Brother AJ, I miss that Yippee the Yang, 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 so get yourself back together. number two, I do apologize because I came in a little late, but what I did hear, I believe I heard a brother said, you know, whatever you desire, whatever you require, you know, you should be able to give up the same thing. You know, a lot of times we want people to do things that we're not willing to do ourselves. And that's automatically unbalanced. You know, sometimes people take your lead, whether you're the man or the woman, they take your lead. If they see that you're not offering anything, why should I offer anything? You know, so I think it's very, very important that if you require something from me, you know, then you should be able to mirror that, to show me that on the same level, you know, so that we can become equally yoked and move on in this relationship. But if I'm the only one that's changing and I'm the only one that's being molded and I'm the only one that's being made and you still out there, as our Minister AJ said, being raggedy, then this relationship is not working.
All right, all right. I like that one, too. That one really was like a that was the killer one for me. You know, be who you and what you are looking for. That really did it for me, too. And they made a lot of good points. That one really stuck out to me because, like you said, Pastor KL, you know, people always want
but yet they not on that tip. They always want something from you, and it's like they off on the races doing something else. It's like, okay, well, hello. I thought we were supposed to be doing this. So, again, you know, these are things that a lot of older people are not catching in life, and it is just really a good thing that they are catching it in this part of their life. You know, I wanted to just do this relationship rumor thing before we switch over to the switch with Shantice, because they brought out some stuff, and right on time of what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about the rumor that says couples in a really good relationship don't fight. Now, we're not talking about fist fighting. Let's make sure we got that established. We're not talking about physical fighting. We're talking about that, you know, that arguing or that healthy arguing. Let's put it like that, too. Because, you know, we don't want to be sending those signals that it's okay to be throwing stuff across the room and all kind of things. We're not going there. But we're talking about disagreeing. Let's use that word. That if you're in a really good relationship, you won't disagree. Is that a rumor, fact? That's a rumor, but is it fact or fiction? Let's start with you, Pastor Charlene. Is that fact or fiction?
That is not true at all. Everybody has some kind of disagreement. I hear a lot of people say that, and they make it look like it's very well on the outside. And I've always said to them, but when you go inside that house and that door closed, the truth comes out. So that is not true at all.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte says thumbs down. Brother Al, what say you? Is that rumor fact or fiction? Good, you know, a good relationship, a really good relationship, we don't have any disagreements.
Well, whoever put that rumor out there must be doing that stuff. It is not true. That's not true at all. Who said that? Whoever said that need to be strung up. No, that's not true. Everybody have disagreements. You know, it's how you handle it. But, yeah, I don't know. Nobody who don't have a disagreement. So that's definitely a rumor.
Okay. Two thumbs down. Pastor KL, you got the final say. Well, is it fact or fiction that if you're in a really good relationship, you ain't going to argue? Ain't going to be no disagreement.
Well, I say whoever believes that, don't get married. Because you're going to be sadly mistaken. Yeah. Don't go. As soon as you say I do, that means you don't ever again. So whoever said that, don't get married. Don't get married. And I'm going to tell you something, and it'll be nice and sweet. If you're really in a good relationship and you the man, you start an argument on purpose just to make up.
You know what? What is
How about
the...
that? How about that?
Oh, my
I know it
took
y'all a while to catch it, but don't worry. Get married. You'll catch it.
Oh, my, we can always rely on you, the pastor, to take it there. Thank you so much. No, but like you all have said, you know, it really does not make sense. You know, first of all, you're not going to always agree on everything. If you want a robot, that's something completely different. But if you want somebody with a brain and some feelings and who is normal, you're not going to agree on everything. I like to always look at what the experts say, because then I would like to bring it to the table. And they talked about some, we got a couple of minutes, they talked about some points as to why disagreeing is good for the relationship. So I was looking through, and I'm like, they got one here that I don't know. So I want to put it out to you all. It says it improves your character. Fighting in a relationship is good because it improves your character. Brother Al, is that true?
I'm kind of iffy with that myself because sometimes when you get in a disagreement, you may see that person's side and you may change a little. So I'm kind of iffy with that.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, what you say?
No. I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay. Why not?
Because disagreement, if you only got to remember there's two different people coming from different backgrounds and different situations and other relationships. So, you know, some things that I will not accept for whatever reason, and that person might too, so it might just bring some kind of a disagreement, but we can disagree to agree and to meet in the middle. So that's why I said no.
Okay. Pastor KL, would you agree or disagree that it improves your character?
Well, I'm going to go totally different. I agree. And piggyback it on Pastor Charlene is because we're two different people. Sometimes I'm tunnel visioned, and I've been living this way all my life, and I didn't see it from your side. And forget about the man and woman relationship. I can just attest or testify from his due time crew. Sometimes we don't agree, and then when I get off the air, and I'm like, wow, I guess Pastor Al did make sense. He went all the way around the building with it, but, you know, he made sense with what he was saying. So it takes me a little while to marinate what people are saying, and then, yeah, it makes me change my ideas of how I was thinking. So I agree.
Okay. They also say you learn to trust much quicker. Now, this is all the experts, quote-unquote, say it's supposed to improve, you know, who you are if you have a healthy relationship where you are disagreeing. You learn to trust much quicker. Pastor Charlene, will you learn to trust much quicker if we disagree?
No.
You're full of no's today.
Trust. That's probably because I got up on the wrong side of the bed. No. I don't think so.
Okay. Brother Al, you learn to trust much quicker when you disagree in a relationship.
No, I disagree with that, because I don't think trust has anything to do with that. Just because we have a disagreement don't mean that, you know, just put it out there, just because we have a disagreement don't mean that you're not a person who cheats or do this and that. So I don't think that has anything to do with trust.
Okay. Pastor KL, you learn to trust much quicker.
No, I disagree with that, because in the conception, in the beginning of arguments, you know, as a man, I'm thinking that you're trying to change me. No, I'm not trusting you. I'm not trusting you right now, because I think there's a motive behind you. Keep on disagreeing with me. You know, now it might change my character next year, but this year my character is still bad. So I'm not trusting you right now.
Okay. Okay, last but not least, I'm going to go with, the experts say you move forward in your relationship when you don't hold back. Would you agree, Pastor Sean? You don't?
Yes, I do.
I'm sorry, you move forward. Okay, go ahead. Why? Why do you agree?
I say that you do move forward because you're able to stand on your own, and you're able to... In the argument period, you get to see yourself and you get to hear the other person, and I just think that it just drives you close up towards what you believe in and what you stand for.
Okay, Brother Al.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that because, you know, when you hold things back, you know, it don't do nothing but build and build and build. And sometimes our first initiative sometimes is to take what that person said or what that person is doing in the wrong way, and we don't hear that person out. So it's like that person is already convicted, and now we sentencing them, you know. So getting everything out, I think it does drive, you know, get you closer because it's like, okay, you know what? I can go to this person, talk to this person about anything. You know, we may see it differently, but you know what? I can get it off my chest, and I can talk to this person. So I definitely agree with that.
Okay. And Pastor KL, bringing up the rear, you move forward in your relationship when you don't hold back.
Men, don't be no fool and listen to Brother Al. Don't be no fool now. You're going to move forward, but you're going to move out the door. That's the forward you're going. Straight out the door. Don't be no fool.
Okay.
He sound educated, but that was a dumb answer. Don't be no fool.
Oh my goodness gracious! Why not? Why? Why do you disagree? This will help you, yours, and Brother Al's relationship move forward. Why do you disagree?
Because you can't listen. You can't put everything on the line because men are for a lack of a better term. We're not that very bright. So sometimes we think we're doing a good thing, and the woman's soaking that thing up, boy. She listening to every honesty you saying is going to come up against you. Don't be no fool. Don't be no fool. That's all I can tell you. Don't be no fool. Don't be no fool.
You're
going to move forward, all right. You about to go forward.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Brother Al, I don't know. You want to take that, you know, take that that tip or not. You know, maybe Pastor Carol will let you move in with him. But, you know, he didn't want you. Okay.
Hey.
Now, so let's wrap up this rumor of, you know, you know if you're in a good relationship, you don't disagree. How? What are we leaving the people with, Pastor Charlene?
Say the question again.
We're going back to the ultimate. We're wrapping this up. We're wrapping this up.
Uh-huh.
She didn't soak that up very well, did she? Very well, did you? We're going back to the initial rumor. You know, you all said that you don't agree. So give your final word on, you know, the fact that, hey, you know, if you're in a good relationship, you will disagree.
Okay. In a good relationship, it is healthy to have some disagreement because every person is an individual, and we come together to become one, to be able to meet in the middle, to be able to have some agreeing time where that we are able to express ourselves. Also, I want to encourage the young people who talk also where that, you know, I thank God that you was able to see your red flag and know what they are. And as the listeners, as all, please do not settle. See the red flag. Know that it's a red flag. Address the red flag. And you make the choice because it's your life that you decide on which if you should stay or if you should go. What you see is what you get. And people don't change. Only God can change them. Nobody else can change them. So please don't think that you can change people. I'm still working on that myself. So that was my key. And Minister AJ, feel better so you can be with us on tomorrow. Bless you all.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Charlene, for your final word. Brother Al, what's the final word on the rumor that says, you know, if you're in a really good relationship, you don't argue. There are no disagreements. What are we leaving everybody with today?
Well, leaving everybody with, don't always listen to these so-called experts. Some of these people that are experts, they kill me. I don't know where they get some of their information from, but it is healthy. I'm agree with Pastor Charlene. It's healthy to have that disagreement. And one of the things is being able to meet in the middle and come to a mutual agreement, you know. And like she said, look out for the red flags. If you with somebody and they're agreeing to everything that you say, then that don't sound right. Everything I say, okay, you know what, the moon is green. You know what, you're right. You know, so you have to look out for that and talk. One of the things we always said, communication, you know. And like I said, I applaud the young people too, seeing it now at your age. So as you're growing, you know what you want. You know what you what type of person you are, what type of person that you want, and not settling. And last, do not listen to Pastor KL. You will be by yourself. Talk to your people. Be able to talk. Be able to talk. Be able to talk to that person. And be able to talk to that person. And y'all be able to put things out. And we're communicating, so we're good. If you listen to Pastor KL, there's a possibility you can be by yourself. You'll never meet nobody. So keep that in mind.
Thank you, Brother Al. Thank you, Brother Al. Pastor KL, you have the final word on this rumor, this relationship rumor, that, you know, if you're in a really good relationship, you don't disagree. What are we leaving everybody with today?
Well, you just experienced. Me and Al is in a relationship, and we don't agree. and that's healthy. We okay with that. But in any relationship, whether it's male and female, whether it's male, female, as far as friends, I'm saying. I'm not saying female, male, saying friends. That's the only way you learn from each other. That's the only way you learn about each other. You have to disagree sometimes. If I ask you what you like and you tell me whatever you like, you know, that's not working out well. You know, I need to have your perspective of things as well as you need to have my perspective of things. And we're not going to always agree, you know, but if we agree to disagree, you know, and then come back to the table and say, hey, you know what, I didn't see it that way, man. You know, maybe we can try it this way. I didn't see it that way. Maybe we can try it that way. You know, that's the only way we can have a healthy and a conducive relationship, no matter what type of relationship it is. But if you're the one that's doing all the talking and doing all the this is what I want to do and no one is giving input to it, that's not healthy at all.
All righty. Thank you so much, our Due Time crew. We so appreciate you weighing in on the relationship rumors. Make sure you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
have
you.
A good-
Thank you. Sorry, Brother Al. Thank you, though. All right. We are moving into closing down, and we can't close down a Monday without our Switch Tip with Shantees. Good morning, Shantees.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. What you got for us this morning?
This morning I got a switch with Shantees where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. Ezekiel 36, verses 21 through 23 in the Message version. I suffered much pain over my holy reputation, which the people of Israel blackened in every country they entered. Therefore, tell Israel, message of God, the Master, I'm not doing this for you, Israel. I'm doing it for me, to save my character, my holy name, which you blackened in every country where you've gone. I'm going to put my great and holy name on display, the name that has been ruined in so many countries, the name that you blackened wherever you went. Then the nations will realize who I really am, that I am God, when I show my holiness through you so that they can see it with their own eyes. Verse 32a, I'm not doing this for you. Get this through your thick heads. Verse 36, the nations around you that are still in existence will realize that I, God, rebuild ruins and replant empty waste places. I, God, said so, and I'll do it. These verses put me in a whole different headspace when I read this last night, and I ended up reading this by accident. But after I read this, I heard our switch tip number 17 loud and clear, which is, remember, it's not about you. This brought me back to something where I thought I was understanding what was happening, but I really wasn't understanding what still is happening. So back in 2014, I got into a bad car accident, and that car accident reset my life, reset my habits, and reset my daily routines drastically. I lost my car, my job, a comfortable bag, my savings, and a little of my sanity. Okay, a little more than just a little of my sanity. Kind of lost it. But I was able to eventually go back to work, but my money was never the same. The jobs didn't feel the same for multiple reasons. And one of those main reasons was that God was starting my spiritual transition that would eventually take me out of the workforce, but it still took a whole lot of getting used to because I was being taken out of my comfort zone. As much as I complained about that zone, it was comfortable. Someone who was supposedly close to me at the time felt the need to tell me how they really felt about my financial state and about me choosing to follow God's instructions to start working a regular job altogether so that I can start working for him. So they ended up straight washing me. And for those who don't know what that terminology means, that means they spoke to me very badly. They bashed me. I was standing there listening to this and watching them stand in my face going in on me. And all I could say with tears in my eyes and a cracked up voice was, I can't wait for God to show himself in this. Well, that same person, me, who didn't have a consistent income, whose mama took on her bills, who had to save up to go to the corner store, who had to learn about refurbishing things just to save money, learn how to make my home my sanctuary, and who was in debt, I have watched how God has turned this all around in front of that same person, turned this all around in front of that same person during COVID. Bars. God waited until the dry spell to really show who he was in my life in front of this person. But I had to realize, especially after reading these verses, that he ain't do it for me. He ain't do it for Shanti. He did it so that he could show who he is. Let me just give y'all a quick, you know, side note. God has been blessing me abundantly, and I don't deserve these things. The other day, I was looking at the improvements he has made in my space, the debt he has cleared up, the material things he's been blessing me with, giving me the ability to buy, so I can ultimately use it for him. But if I have to work without it, I would have to learn how to work without it. The way he's been picking me up mentally and emotionally every single day, and I was just like, wow, God, why? Right, because, you know, Jesus teaches you how to be real with yourself, and you know you don't be deserving half the stuff you get. It's like, come on. But I really have to ask why, but it's because he has to make sure that his name comes out on top. He is not going to miss out on proving who he is because I haven't been completely on point with him. So with that person who was washing me didn't understand, they thought they were taking shots at me. They were really taking shots at God because it wasn't me who said, I'm going to stop working. It wasn't me who said, I'm not going to be out here grinding so that I can now get another car, you know, get my bank account to where it was, you know, come up, as we say in the streets, you know, where I can come up and have my savings, have my money and do what I, you know, what I was used to doing. That wasn't me. That was God. So while they thought they were sitting there and telling me how stupid I was and how I was following somebody else and this and the third, and God had to really say, oh, okay, you're not even going to be prepared for how I'm going to show you who I am. And I remember fast forward like a year or two later, I was talking to my mother, and I was mad because that same person ended up texting me, and they were like, you know, I see what you're doing, and I'm so proud of you. You know, you're doing your thing. And I was just so unmoved. I started not to even respond to the text. Because I was just looking at it like, this is so bogus. Like, you forgot what you said 2 years ago? You obviously forgot. Maybe you thought she was texting congratulations to someone else. And I went to her and I was just like, I don't want you to say congratulations. I don't want you to say nothing. I don't care how dope you think I am right now, what you think I'm doing. I don't want no accolades from you. I'm good. And she has to remind me of Psalm 23, verse 5, but I pulled it up in the message version, of course. And that reads, you served me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revived my drooping head. My cup brims with blessings. So again, even though I know that technically if God was to really deal with me according to what I've been doing, it would be a little wishy-washy. Because even though I've been doing a lot on point, I have been kind of slipping in other areas as to where I shouldn't be getting blessed abundantly. But because he has to show this very person, if for no other reason, he's showing this very person what I'm going to, in addition to you thinking you about to bash me, meaning him, I'm going to show you how I'm going to pick up those who look like they're dry. Those who you're looking at because they don't have the material things in their faces. You think they ain't going nowhere. So, again, it's not about me. Yeah, I didn't want you to say no congratulations to me at all. Like, I didn't want nothing. But, again, God has to show. So God has allowed me to sit at this table with this six-course dinner, not just so I can sit there and get greedy and be full, but so that that same person can look over at me and say, wow, she's not eating this because of something that she did necessarily. Because right now, I have no business with a high credit score. Right now, I have no business with my debt being cleared. Right now, I have no business with a computer and an iPad and a phone and this and that, all these things that a lot of other people have to learn how to do without. I don't have to learn how to do without it either. But he has to show who he is, and he is not going to allow us to help him miss his opportunity on showing the very people who look over and say, yeah, so where's your God? So we need to make the conscious decision to make the switch today to stop taking up space in the room, the air in the room, however they term it. It ain't about you. Okay, make sure even if you know you don't deserve it, God could also be using this as an opportunity to redeem you. So take it for what it is, accept the blessings, thank God that he has not snatched the breath out of your body, that he still deems you worthy enough to use you to still show who he is to other people. And make the switch from thinking it's all about you to making sure that you leave room to show people that it's all about God. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you. It's all about him. Yes, as she was talking, I'm thinking, you know, thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Not behind their back, in the presence of my enemies. So we give God thanks that we're able to, you know, be an example for God. Thanking God that we're able to be an example. He can work through us. Let me say the benediction for today. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Romans 15:5-6. Oh, we have had a wonderful day today. We heard from our young people, and they represented well. They represented quite well. You know, I was writing down some stuff as they were talking, and they were giving their recap and their advice to the listeners. And I heard, trust your gut. You can't ignore the things that God is sending your way. These red flags, these alarms, these sirens, they're going off for a reason. You know, a lot of us, just like they said, a lot of us do the same thing. We ignore it. It's going to pass. It'll be better. I can change her. I can change him. No, trust your gut. If it feels wrong, it is wrong. Know your limits. Don't let some, I challenged this last week. These are your boundaries. You set the boundaries. Make sure that you are the one who are calling the shots. Don't let nobody else tell you how far you're going to go, okay? Speak up. Open your mouth. That's what you got it for. Open your mouth and speak up for yourself. Don't let people walk all over you. It ain't good. Like I said, set them boundaries. Set those boundaries. Make sure you don't let them go past your parameters. It's up to you to let them know what you're willing to accept and what you're not going to accept. And last but not least, my favorite, be what you look for. Oh, I love it. Make sure you're not asking people to do what you're not willing to do yourself. And, you know, sometimes this stuff happens without us really thinking about it. Sometimes this stuff happens without us even realizing it. You know, we want people to compromise, even something as small as compromising. You know, we want people to compromise, but we're not willing to compromise ourselves. You know, we want people to go, just do that just a little extra thing, but we're not willing to do that extra thing. You know, we're always looking for people to do things,
And we're not willing to do stuff ourselves. You know, why I got to do this or why I got to do that? And they're not, you know, always looking across the table. I always tell people, stop looking across the table. Look in the mirror first. You know, fix you. Before you try to fix someone else, fix you. Make sure you're willing to do what needs to be done to make a relationship work, okay? And again, I like to say, you know, God gives us an opportunity sometimes to, you know, experience these things when we're young, early in life, and that's to prepare us for what's coming later in life. You know, you're not learning that lesson, you know, for naught. You're not learning it for nothing. You're going to have to use this. You're going to have to fall back on this. You're going to have to remember that you went through this stuff. This stuff is going to matter later. You know, you're going to have to go back into the recesses of your mind and just think about, hey, you know what? I went through this before. I need to watch out for this thing. And know that it's intentional. Sometimes God will spare us from some things early in life. But again, it's his judgment call. So if he allows us to learn something early in life, then it really would behoove us to put it into use. Let other people know what you've learned. Let other people know what you've been through. You know, God had to teach me, you know, open up your mouth. Open up your mouth and let people know what's going on. Tell people what you've gone through. You know, I was always a very private person. I wouldn't tell anybody, good or bad. I just didn't talk like that about me. And as God started moving me into ministry, he taught me, you know, I don't have you going through these things for you, Stephanie. It's not about you. Just like Shanti said, it's not about us. You know, so I have to put a lot of my personal stuff out on the line, and I'm not comfortable with doing that at all. It might seem easy, it might seem comfortable, but it's not. And you know, a lot of times I'm like, oh, I can't even believe I'm saying this. And the Lord says, you just do what I need you to do. I need you to talk about it. I need you to help people to grow. Like I said earlier, everybody does not have to learn from their own experience. He allows us to go through things so that other people can learn from what we've been through. It's shame on us if we can't, you know, share. And I think, again, I thank the young people for coming on. Excuse me. And they're probably tired of me calling them young people. But I have to say it that way because a lot of times we don't think, you know, that they are any use to us. A lot of times you get on a job, you let them promote a young person over an older person. All hell breaks loose. Trust me, I've seen it a million times. What do they know? They just got here, you know, and I've been here for 35 years, and they don't, you know, they didn't promote me, they promoted them. He's a snot-nosed kid. He's very, very, very upset. But I have to tell you, these are the people that are moving the economy. You know, you did what you did, and we're appreciating your, you know, your contribution because we could not be where we are without you being where you were. So, you know, we got to listen to the young people sometimes. They do have a voice, and we really, really, really were blessed today. So I give them, you know, give them a lot of kudos, and I thank God for their voice this morning. Please like us on Facebook. A Closer Walk Media Network is how we are found. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Press that pink button when you open up that link, and you will be notified each and every time we are updating a new segment. Follow us on Instagram at ACW_media_network to stay updated with our tips, topics, and our guests. Knock on our door, Coach for Christian Life. Please go on today's post. It's there. And just let Leighton Williams, Jada West, Vernon Griffin know, you know, that they were a blessing to you today. Give them, you know, some encouragement that they will continue to speak up and speak out. Go back and listen to past episodes. All last week was extremely hot. Go back and listen to today's episode. You will learn a lot. Remember, a lot of times things pass us. We don't even realize it, okay? Please go to Apple Podcasts and Apple iTunes and rate the show. We need those ratings. We need other people to know exactly what is going on, okay? Tune in tomorrow, God spares. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Church folk is in effect, and hopefully Minister AJ will feel better so we can be blessed with him being on tomorrow. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As we go through our day, make sure we focus on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Remember, prayer changes things. Oh, Pastor Steph is signing off right now. But it's been a blessing to have had you with me today. I thank you so much for listening. I love you.